it come up on my Facebook?
It'll come up on your Facebook.
Cool.
Mic check, 1, 2. Mic check. Mic check, Facebook check.
Check, check.
Did you know you can now go live on LinkedIn, Josh?
I did not.
Yes, we need to figure this out. Offices at China Hall on a Wednesday afternoon, beautiful Wednesday afternoon, broadcasting from the second level of the 221st Avenue building. The once red, now white brick building. Excited to be here. Excited to, I can say officially, this last week I went to this wonderful event. If you can see the flyer right here. I went to this wonderful event. It's called Rockchester.
Well, which one? There was a lot of them.
Well, I went just one day. I went Saturday. It was
a three-day event.
That's the best day to go to, I think.
Was it?
I think that was the best day.
It was my first time going. Rockchester, version number 4. Episode number 4.
Episode 4. Yep. Return of the Goose.
Return of the Goose. Not to be confused with Return of the Robin, right, the hockey one. So yes, we are excited. We are here with the founder of Rockchester.
Good to be here.
What's your name?
Dylan Hilliker.
Dylan, nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
First time meeting you. I've literally tweeted from a couple different places and you know, watched from afar for a few years.
Yep.
And you were gracious enough to come up and just join the podcast.
Yeah, no, thank you for putting us over the top and getting Wyatt to shotgun that LaCroix.
Yes.
That was important.
So it was an Instagram Live, I think through yours, or through actually the Rockchester.
It was through the Rockchester one, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
And you said you had 2 early goose
tickets
left.
Yep.
And if someone would buy them that, Wyatt would shotgun a LaCroix.
Mm-hmm.
So I stepped up to the plate.
Stepped up, hit out of the park.
Is that video still there? I want to see it.
I sent it to you afterwards.
I have a screen recording of it.
I want to see it,
I'll post it.
Yeah, because sure. I then did a screen record of it
because
you said someone do it, and then I sent it to you on Google Drive after the fact.
That was great.
That was great.
Fantastic.
So besides shotgunning LaCroix, what goes into Rockchester Fest? Or it's not even Fest. It's funny. Everybody calls it Fest.
Because I know. That's like the Instagram tag, and
is
we've
it?
Been trying to get at Rockchester for so long because people just keep on calling it Rockchester Fest. I mean, that's fine. Like,
I typed it on Google. I couldn't find it. I'm like, Bucky, why isn't it coming up?
I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Like, you can call it Rockchester Fest or Rockchester Festival or whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, like, the thing that, like, really goes into it, I mean, it's not as, like, glamorous as the weekend makes it seem. It's just a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of emails. And what is really rewarding is getting to, you know, create relationships with artists that we work with and getting to, you know, maybe talk to some bands that you wouldn't normally talk to. I mean, Early Eyes was kind of a shot in the dark for us on last year, and we got them as a headliner, and now they're like some of my really good friends. So it's kind of crazy to.
And where is Early Eyes from? What is it?
They're from Minneapolis.
Okay.
So yeah, and they've headlined the festival for the past 2 years, and I'm sure. Were you there for them?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. They were their last act. Super crazy, crazy good stuff. But yeah, it's cool to like. Be able to see what's going on in like both the Rochester and the Minneapolis scene, as well as people who just kind of like apply. It's an open call for like applicants basically. And so, I mean, like we get applicants from all over. One of our bands for night one came all the way from Ann Arbor, Michigan. So like, it's kind of crazy how widespread this festival has become in terms of like getting talent, not only just from Rochester, but from all around the Midwest.
So for somebody that has never even heard of it or never been to the event, like what would you explain to them as what they'll see when they go to the event for the very first time?
I like to think it's like something that they wouldn't ever see in Rochester before, you know? I think like what I'm trying to bring with this is like, if you like to see local music, if you're a fan of like My Town shows, or if you're a fan of the Canvas and Chardonnay shows, like they all partner with us to put on this programming. So it's like one of those things where like we focus on youth artists, of course, but it's also like the best of the best that's going on in Minnesota right now, you know. So I think, you know, for people who haven't been to it, it's just a showcase of all the talent that not only like the greater Midwest has, but also that just Rochester in general has. Like, there are a lot of kids in Rochester that are doing some amazing things. I think that goes unnoticed sometimes. Sure. And so we're really trying to put a spotlight on that.
So do most of the bands, and are they reaching out to you, or do you have to do much reaching out to other bands to see if they come in?
Yeah, so like at first, like the first couple of years, it was a lot of like, you know, asking people to come and play the festival and trying to like find bands, basically, because like I had no you know, idea of the Minneapolis scene or like anywhere around. I was just kind of like very like Rochester centric as a musician, because that's the only place I had ever played.
And how old were you on the first version?
16. Yeah.
That's so when you threw the first Rochester? Mm-hmm. Sweet. Good
yeah,
for you.
16, and it was at the Wicked Moose.
Yes.
Back in.
Oh,
back
I
in
remember
the day.
It now. I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But, That one was crazy, because like just the sheer amount of talent that we had, like between like the two, I think it was like I was a junior in high school and the seniors in high school, like those two classes were just insane. Like, we had bands like Fauna and Flora and like Project Substitute, which was like this incredible jazz group that you know, kids from like Lourdes and Mayo had formed together. They just played like jazz standards, but like now one of them is like going to school in New Orleans for jazz composition, Marius Toussaint. And then Fauna and Flora is now not active anymore, but it was like one of my favorite Rochester groups, and it all started from that little like 1 year, like one day. I think we only had like 6 or 7 acts, so it's kind of crazy. Oh, and Vansire was like, they had like one of their first live shows at our festival, and now they're like, you know, close to 1 million monthly listeners on Spotify. And
wow.
Like, they had one single out. I didn't even know who they were. I slotted them at like the 3 p.m. slot on the day, and they just kind of blew me away. And then they ended up headlining the festival next year, and we've been trying to get them back ever since.
Yeah. So. Where, they're like touring, or what are they doing? They're like all over?
Yeah, they're kind of all over. Josh goes to Oberlin College in Ohio, and then Sam is up at the cities in the Twin Cities. And I think his brother Isaac is out in Colorado, maybe Montana, something mm-hmm. like that. But they're touring this summer, and I think they play at 7th Street in August or so. But yeah, it's cool to see how bands like that have like grown, and even bands that we've met along the way, like Early Eyes and those guys, like have really, it's like kind of crazy to see what a year's difference is. Yeah, it's like we're growing up as a family together, so it's really cool.
And now it's a 3-day event. It's no longer just the 1 day.
Yeah, it's a 3-day event. We're this year was kind of, well, I mean, every year is an experiment, so this year was even more so of an experiment, trying out the 3-day format. I'm not sure if we'll keep it, but, you know, it's one of those things where, like, right after a festival, you always have these crazy ideas swirling in your brain for next year and everything. So, but, yeah, we really enjoyed having all those events and getting all the people out. We had 32 acts this year and
wow.
22 visual artists. So yeah, we were crazy, crazy stacked.
Explain a little bit about the main stage, side stage, like what went into that. Have you done that before? What that is?
Yeah. So we did that last year. I had the idea because, one of the things from years prior, it was always like really weird to have just like one band play and then there'd be this like lull, and we wanted to keep the energy up. But not to the point where we're like overwhelming people. Like, it's just like band after band after band, and everyone has to like sit through that and get fatigue and all that stuff. Like, ear fatigue is one of those things it's like I'm trying to stay away from. But, you know, so we decided on the side stage, And it was perfect at the Civic Theater because they have that lobby stage already, like, set up, ready to go. So we just brought in a PA, and, like, it was pretty easy. But, yeah, so we kind of did the main stage as, like, the bands, and then the side stage was, like, solo artists and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's the main idea. And the main idea was just to, like, not have that lull, just to keep the music going and all that stuff.
So Reed Bruins has commented. He said, "Last I knew, Rochester used to be a guitar lesson studio above WT Lighting." I don't know what that is.
I don't.
There might have been a company at one point.
There might have been. I mean, the domain, like, the Rochester domain was actually, like, I think Avalon Music's domain for a little bit.
Was it really?
Yeah. And so I got an email from him, and he was like, "What's this Rochester Festival?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, it's just this festival." And he was like, "All right, that's chill." Like, but I was worried that we were going to have a problem.
You're like, "Dude, I'm 16, and I'm, like, in high school right now. Can I message you after class?"
Right, yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I think that was one of the, like, looking back on it, it was, like, so funny to, like, I think it was more of, like, I think the reason why we were able to get started, but, like, it was kind of like a novelty thing at first, and I kind of have grown to accept that it is kind of, like, a novelty thing still, but, like, I think the more people have seen what it's transformed into, the more people are willing to, you know, kind of accept this as, like, a real, legit thing.
Yeah.
My pet peeve, and I've been talking about this for a while, is, like, there are some people that do it, and I'm like, okay, that's fine, like, you're, like, a father figure, but, like, when, like, people call me bud and stuff, and I'm like, I'm 20, dude, like, and, like, I'm, like, running this festival, and, like, you're still calling me bud, and it's just, like, one of those things that I get really, like, you know, sideways about, but, like, it's just the territory. Like, when you start a festival when you're 16, you never quite
have to
grow out of it. Yeah, eventually.
Have you done anything else besides this festival since you've been 16?
Yeah, exactly.
Is this your only job?
Like, what are you doing for your life? You know, and I think it just, like, goes to show, like, the Midwest isn't, like, super, like, forward on the whole arts thing. You know, like, I think most people, you know, around here are very, like, blue collar, very, like, working class, and, you know, might not have time to have those different pursuits. But I think just, like, letting people see that it's something that everyone can enjoy has been super rewarding too. It's, like, it's really funny because, like, you know, some of the band's parents, they're, like, you know, working class, like, you know, they go out and, like, fish on the weekends, and then they come out to a music festival, they have no idea what they're doing and, like,
what to expect.
Yeah,
nothing,
what to
right?
expect, but they always end up enjoying it, which is cool. It's cool to
see. And I would say, you know, on the music topic or artist topic, just here in the Midwest or Rochester focus, is, like, you know, my family specifically, like, we didn't have anything in our house related to it. Don't get me wrong, we listened to music, but there wasn't much music besides that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and I think, like, I grew up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So, like, I spent my first 10 years of my life there, and that's kind of where I started taking lessons. My parents put us in, like, guitar lessons and drum lessons, like, really early. So I had been playing drums since I was 8. And it's just been kind of, like, one of those things where it, like, it just stuck with me, and something about it just made me, like, gravitate towards it. And so even though I was playing sports, I was always, like, seeing music as more of a priority, which is cool. And it's cool to see some kids, like, one of the guys in my band, Lucas, was, like, full-time, like, football, baseball player at Mayo High School. And then he picked up guitar when he was a sophomore, and now he is better than all of us. So, like, it's just, like, it goes to show, like,
natural talent.
Yeah, and, like, the night one headliners, Gully Boys, they're from Minneapolis, but I think it goes to show, like, they didn't know how to play their instruments 3 years ago.
Wow.
And now that's, they're awesome. Like, they, like, you know, were they had opening slots at the First Avenue Main Room, and, like, have been to South by Southwest, and, like, playing all these gigs. So, you know, it's, like, one of those things where we want to encourage kids to, like, start bands and to really, like, you know, think of music as a as it's something that can be rewarding. Right. I mean, like, I've been able to make, you know, well, just recently I've been able to start actually making some money playing music. So it's always good, like, when you have something like that that might not be like or a career path, even though it could be for some, but even just to have that outlet has always been important for me.
I would think that the success stories of, like you already mentioned with episode one of Rochester, mm-hmm. of like being able to show other musicians that are in high school now of like, hey, you know this band? Oh yeah, their first performance was here, you know, in some
exactly.
way. Like
exactly.
That gets people, I would think, just energized to be like, all right, I can do this.
Yeah, and especially, you know, we've been looking to bring in more high profile, you know, acts. I think if we would have been at this point 4 years ago, you know, I could see someone like a Hippocampus coming and headlining the festival. Like, it wasn't like, you know, 4 years ago, it wasn't like they were like huge by any means, mm-hmm. but like, you know, they were probably like 18 or so, like back then. And, you know, so it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, we want to keep bringing in the best talent, and hopefully just like we build more relationships and get more bands that are really going out there and doing big things. But, yeah.
So do you have to pay to get in most of the events, or are there some free, some paid, or how does that all work?
So the night one showcases, like the night showcases are the main like ticketed events.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's usually programming outside of that. So like this year we had a carpet booth session that Josh did video for. And that was like a $25 ticket, and it was like you got in, you got to see five bands and what a recording studio session would look like. At Carpet Booth Studios, their live room's incredible. But it was one of those things where, like, you know, it was $25, you get to see five bands record, and then, mm-hmm. you know, those songs will be up on Spotify, like, you know, hopefully within the month. So you get to have, you know, a snapshot of that, and there'll be videos up as well. It was, you know, like if you did everything for the whole weekend, even if you paid at the door, it would still, you know, come out to like $65, I think, at the absolute most, you know, so we're not asking for like 200, 300, like, you know, some festivals do. It's a really reasonable ticket price for sure.
Now, how does like the pre-order stuff work?
We had
talked about that a little bit, like, you know, wanting more or just not taking off as much as like people just doing it at the door and stuff like that.
Yeah. So like Rochester has this problem where they don't buy advance tickets. And I think it's like a problem in any like kind of secondary or tertiary mm-hmm. market for music. Like you have the Chicago's, New York's, and the LA's where you're like, you know, if there's a band that's big, you know that people are going to buy advance because mm-hmm. there's too many people for them not to, you know, like it's going to sell out, you know. So it's one of those things where people are more likely to do that. But one of the ways that we work up to, you know, being a city where bigger acts come in is through purchasing advance tickets. I work mm-hmm. I intern for a company in Nashville right now that does artist management, and whenever they're deciding where to send their artists, because they have a role in like where the artists go, routing of tours and all that stuff, they, you know, if they try out a market where pre-sales are low or pre-sales are, you know, non-existent, they probably won't go back to that market, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where like you either have to do really well and the artist has to really like it for them to come back, or you just have to be a pre-sale buyer, and that's like one of the things. So we do our tickets tiered, so like the Early Goose ones are the cheapest ones you can get. They're like a month after we announce the initial lineup, and then it moves to pre-sale and then door sales. So it just increases, you know, gradually.
I would think that model has changed at all as your education has grown related to how things work.
It has changed, yeah for sure. Because like you know, I think it's, I think like that's kind of what the festival industry is doing right now. The tier tickets are really important to, to, you know, promoting pre-sales. If you give people the option of buying early and buying less expensive, usually they will. But yeah, so.
I see a lot too with not just music festivals, but just like events in general. Like how much hype big companies build with pre-sale stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. It's like all this hype built, and then they're dropping pre-sales, and then they're hitting it again, and they're like really pushing toward that.
Yeah, and I think one of the things about it is like, you know, to give some insight, it's like it's not normal that by the time you're selling tickets, you're break even or in the black when you're budgeting for a festival. And that's for any festival. That's for your like Bonnaroos, Coachellas, everything. Like they usually don't turn a profit until they start selling pre-sale tickets, you know. And luckily enough, like we were able to get some grant funding this year that helped us out. Nice. Like with the pre-sale tickets, but
is that the first year that happened?
That's the first year. We've gotten the Greater Rochester Arts and Cultural Trust grant for the past 2 years now. But this was the first time we got the CMAC grant, the legacy funding, which was great.
Nice.
And so like when you're building a festival, like you know, you have to kind of like go incrementally. Like one of the big budget items for us is we pay all of our bands, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have a set budget that we have for bands based on, you know, what we made last year, the funding that we have right now. And then usually that doesn't cover it all, so we're relying on ticket sales to get us over the top. So yeah, ticket sales are huge in terms of like making the festival keep happening, as well as, you know, all of our great sponsors and all of our grant funding and all that stuff. But yeah, it's like a little in the weeds, but like I think that's like an important thing to mention.
Probably like every year now that you go, you're building up more and more content to kind of hype up the next year's event.
Yeah,
we just got more than you could the year before.
We just got 391 pictures from our. So I'll be sharing that with the band. So if any of the bands are listening on our live stream, pictures are coming your way.
Nice.
So I'm really excited to see those. But yeah, the content is huge, and we had. Last year we did some like video series and we did, you know, we had just like tons of content. So yeah, it's really important to like push that kind of stuff. And one of the things that I always fall like, I don't know, I'm always guilty of is I don't keep pushing content as the year goes on, because I just like get engulfed in other things. But this year we'll have enough to post you know, more than one picture every day for the rest of the year until the next.
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say is, like, now is the time to schedule
throughout
the year, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you got it built up. And I don't work scheduling social media posts enough either, but I would think that it's...
Yeah, and that's one of those big things. One of my friends, because I have a bunch of friends who are, you know, out working in the music business now, just, like, through university connections. And one of them introduced me to, like, I don't know if you guys know Hootsuite.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and that's just been, like, a breeze, you know? Because we have that, like, we did that, like, 32 days of Rochester where we were basically counting down the days. And
sweet.
It was a band every single day. And that was, I did it all in one day. I just, like, programmed all the posts, like, scheduled them all. And then they just, like, came out, and it was so easy. Yeah. So, like, yeah, Hootsuite, good
tool.
Yeah, I
gotta do that more.
And then I think about, as you go throughout the year, being able to give some of those bands the spotlight once again on your social media, Instagram, do a takeover like I know you have done.
Yeah.
And just be like, okay, give the fans, give those that came a summary of what you're up to, and it's the middle of the year.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure. And we try to stay active, like posting shows that our network are doing, you know, yeah. and posting tours and all
helping
that stuff.
The community.
Yeah, because like really the idea of like the Goose Crew and like the idea of like Rochester in general is like we're building, you know, a family, like a network, a web. So
yes.
like we want to support those artists who
a
come
flock.
For us.
You're
a
building
flock.
A flock.
Exactly. Flock. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's like one of those things, you know. It's really fun to see, you know, bands get really cool tours, and like even bands like will sometimes reach out to me, and like I've done booking for my band and done booking for Why Not, one of the bands on there. So it's like always cool to like help bands out too that need it, because when they're in the network, you know, we treat them like family, you know.
In the flock.
You
gotta get that terminology.
Yeah.
We got a couple comments on Facebook. What are they?
We got quite a few, actually.
Yes, oh, thank you.
Rosie Skipper, she said, "Hey, big guy." That was probably when you were talking about the Bud thing or something like that.
Yeah, hey, big guy.
Bree Colvin said, "This is awesome." Lucas Muskoff, hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Enzo
Vinhole.
Vinhole?
Oh, yeah. Hey,
he
Enzo.
He said he didn't make it to Rochester this year, but he had in past years.
Yeah, so Enzo is the bass player for Good Luck Finding Iris, who played last year, and their lead singer Mike played this year, and she is like one of the most incredible voices ever. Like Mike Coda is like an artist to be on the lookout for sure.
What night? Wow. What night were they?
She was night two side stage.
Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
And she also did the carpet booth session, so her songs will be up. I'm really excited. She only has one song.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, her voice
is
awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah. That was
the
one where, like, because I didn't have the headphones in there.
Yeah.
So, like, but her singing, I was like, yep.
Yep,
that's
really it. That's all you need. Yep, for sure.
It's funny you say that because here I am there for the first time, and I'm, like, watching these amazing, talented people, you know, do their thing. And I'm going side stage to main stage, and I'm like, so if I'm like in the music industry, do I know when I hear it? You know, that was going through my mind. Like, do I know? Like, they're all amazing to me, you know, but I'm like, would I know that this person's on to the next level?
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's like one of those things where, you know, it's really hard, especially in the Midwest, because we're not like attached to a coast. We're not like any like, there's not a lot of music industry professionals that like really think about the Midwest. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to, you know, focus on too, as well, is bringing out some people who scout talent and who are like, you know, I think that's one of the things that we'll probably try to start doing a little bit more next year, because there's so many incredibly talented musicians there. I mean, like Early Eyes is managed by a guy who is in the management arm of 30 Tigers in Nashville. And you know, there's been some swirlings of like stuff that they're doing, you know, and so really excited to see what happens in the future for those guys. But yeah, like the guy who manages them also managed Hippocampus, Lizzo, and managed Trampled by Turtles, or still does manage Trampled by Turtles. So he's like from New York, like the East Coast area, but has made his whole career off of Minnesota music, which is kind of crazy to think about, because like there's just that much talent there. And I think whenever someone like a music industry professional comes in here, they're always like bombarded, because people like see that they want to take their stuff to the next level and aren't really sure how to do it yet. So I think that's like one of the things that I'm super passionate about, is trying to get more people here that are working in the music industry, and trying to get more names from our festival out into the broader national. Mm-hmm.
Rosie Skipper's asking, any word on the headliners for next year?
Ah, man. Well, okay. Well, I'll throw out a few that I want. I want Vansire again. If Vansire is listening to this, I want you.
Come join the flock.
Yeah,
Vance.
Come join the flock. And they played the first 2 years, and we'd really like to have them back. Dizzy Faye was one of the artists this year that I've been looking at, and I really have loved the singles that she's put out. I'm trying to think of what else. Young Gravy was in town while the festival was happening.
Where were you, Young Gravy?
I know. We were trying to get him to come through. But
we were making great mashed potatoes, and he didn't show up.
I know. I know. Gosh. But yeah, they're like a couple. They're like a couple bands that I've had my eyes set on for a while. So we'll see how it all shakes out next year. But hopefully, it'll be bigger and better.
There you go. Are you going to be able to make a living in the music industry?
That's I get asked that question a lot. Yep. Yep, and I think that's like one
by your parents, or are your parents just over it?
By my parents, by other people's parents. Yeah.
That their like, their kids are like looking up to you, like Dylan's doing it. Like, why can't I do it?
Right. And you know, one of the things that I say to people is like, the music industry isn't just like just about the musician anymore. Like, it's about the venue owner, the manager, promoters, booking people. Graphic design is huge. So there are, you know, a wide variety of skilled jobs in the music industry for people who don't even have to have a musical background. And so I've been pushing, you know, like some of the kids that have came through the festival, like, you can get a job doing stuff in the music industry, and you can work for any number of companies doing music related stuff. So I've never personally had like any doubt about myself being able to make a career in the music industry, because I think it's just one of those things where it is a very connections based thing. And you know, I know a lot of people who love and support me in the music industry, and I know a lot of people who are passionate about what we're doing. So I don't have any doubts about it. I think everyone should, you know, learn about the music industry and like really come to appreciate it for the big web it is, you know, the flock.
Exactly. The flock.
The large flock.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know
that'll be the post for next year? Join the flock.
Yeah. I like, honestly, we're doing some good brainstorming here. I might take some of these ideas.
Yeah, by the way, your branding this year is on point. Like, shout out to whoever helped with that.
Andy Furness is our graphic designer. He did all the branding. Did everything for the festival.
Everything.
So Andy,
I mean, it was all the way from the PowerPoint, if you will, that was up on the wall, you know, to The shirts were sick.
Yeah.
The shirts were awesome.
I had the idea in my sleep, and I woke up at like 3:30 a.m., and I was like, we have to do this. And I got like, so we had been talking, like me and some of my friends had been talking about like old like vintage jerseys that we loved.
Oh, yes.
And then we got on the topic of like old baseball jerseys.
Yes.
And originally it was going to be like one of those like mint blue, like the Cardinals jerseys that used to be like the big mint blue, and it was, but then we decided on the tan because that was a little bit more with the branding. But the whole like we're thinking about doing pennants next year with that logo on it.
Yep.
Just kind of diversifying the merch. We got pins and stuff this year, so just kind of adding on to that. But yeah, the branding has always been super cool. I'm trying to think of Blythe. Colvin was the one who actually thought of the three goose idea.
Okay.
And she was, you know, nice enough to let us use that for the graphics. And but so far Andy has been kind of doing everything for the festival. Blythe just kind of had that idea. And the contours, actually, like all that line and stuff.
Yeah.
That actually comes from a topographical map of Rochester. So that's like a cool little
cool
little insight that we had. And Andy is, you know, a visionary, so he just kind of thinks of that stuff. And so
I like it.
That's been like one of the cool things. Yeah.
What are you listening to right now? We'll go around. What are you listening to?
Okay, so I just went and saw Faye Webster at 7th Street Entry last night. She's like a really chill, like, folksy kind of artist, but she's also this super great creative. She went to Belmont for a year before she dropped out the college that I'm at right now. And so I am friends with friends, but she is It was. I was really impressed with her. She was really great. It's like John Mayer, like kind of stuff, like super chill. But it also has like a slide guitar element to it too. She like utilizes that a lot. She's from Atlanta. She runs with like the rap scene there, which is kind of cool. Cause she like this very small white girl and does like a bunch of the photography for like Lil Yachty and like Migos and that kind of stuff. So she's super
cool. And she's playing music on the side.
And she's playing music on the side, and she just like casually like was playing Bonnaroo this past weekend and came to 7th Street. So yeah, she's one to look out for sure.
That's awesome. Josh, what are you listening to?
I listen to 96.5 in my car.
Yeah.
And then when I'm at home, I'm usually editing videos, and I listen to Soundstripe. That's where I get my music from.
Is it like a Spotify? Yeah, what is it?
It's basically a website with a bunch of music on. I think it's like a yearly subscription, but you can use it to get copyrighted free music.
Oh, nice.
To put on all your videos and stuff like that.
So that's why you're
I listen to a lot of that.
And then you're like, I need that
all
for
the time.
Video.
And this.
This
and
is
this.
A good video.
Like, I'll just like hit the playlist, like, yep, that's a good sound. We're going to use that in a video.
Yeah. That's cool. Good.
I'm still stuck on Luke Combs. I just love him. He's good. And I just heard this on the radio this morning. He's the first since Johnny Cash to have 5 hits on the, I don't know if it's a country playlist or whatever
country
playlist.
Radio.
5 at the same time. Mm-hmm. And when they said that this morning on the radio, I was like, that guy is really that good. Guy is good. So I've been listening a lot to him. And then I listen to a Christian hip hop when I'm working out. It's called Rapzilla. I've said this before, but I think it's maybe produced in Nashville or somewhere else, but there's a lot of artists from Nashville.
Nashville's a big Christian music hub. Sure.
And I don't think people often relate Nashville to that, you know?
Mostly think of it as country.
And it's just like the music hub now of the world, honestly, right?
Yeah, it's growing a lot. Yeah, a lot of my friends are doing some really cool things in Nashville, too. Yeah,
That's cool to see. Are you going to move back to Rochester, Dylan, ever?
I don't know. I'm going to kind of see where everything takes me. Hopefully I'll just be able to. I graduate this December, so hopefully, you know, I'll either end up back here and go on the road and try to get something going there, like maybe tour managing, running merch, something like that, just to get out. Or some of my friends have been trying to get me to move to LA, but I'm not sure how feasible that is right now. We'll see what kind of job I can get. But yeah, so everything's up in the air, and that's just how it's going to be for the rest of my life. It's kind of the fact of the matter.
And what are you going to school for?
Music business. Okay. So it's a bachelor's in business administration with an emphasis in like the music industry. So I take all the business courses, but I also take like copyright law, and I have a production emphasis, so I take all the audio engineering classes as well. So it's been a very good, like, well-rounded degree. Appreciated my time there.
What did they say?
Rosie said, no LA, stay in the Midwest. Midwest is the new LA.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, no, I mean, that's what we're trying to make it, you know? Yeah, and so, like, one of the things I tell people, I'm like, you know, as of right now, like, if I'm going to bring it back, I'm always going to bring it back here. You know, like, I have no doubt about it that Minnesota music is, like, my passion, you know. Yeah. But sometimes you have to, like, get out and make those connections for people to really start paying attention.
So. It's funny because my mind just went to Rochester, New York. Like, all of a sudden you're like, guys, I forgot to tell you, it's in New York this year.
We're doing Rochester in New York, Rochester in L.A. Yeah, it's going global.
Let's see here. Awesome.
How long have we been?
38 minutes. That's what we shoot for. We shoot for that 40-minute mark.
Awesome.
Dylan, if you had to give any advice to... Someone's going to cry over here. Bree Colvin is going to cry over here.
She can't move.
If you had to give any advice to just musicians that are sitting in high school right now in Rochester, and they're just... You know, they're busting at the seams, or they're maybe not. Maybe they're a little depressed. They're like, I don't know what the heck to do. Mm. What would be some advice that you'd give to musicians here in the community?
Start at an open mic. and then find people to play in a band with. My first band was in seventh grade, so like it can be done, and it's gonna be bad at first. It's gonna be really bad at first, but then it's gonna get better, and then it's gonna keep getting better. So I think like you can't be too hard on yourself, and you can't expect it to be good right out of the gate. We never expected that with Rockchester, and now it's finally gotten to the point where I feel like it's getting good, you know. Yeah. So like I think that's the one thing. It's just like you got to keep working on your craft, and if you're really passionate about it, you know, you got to find a way, and that's all you can do.
Yes. That's it. That's Offices of China Hall podcast with the founder of Rockchester.
There we go.
Not the fest, the official Rockchester.
Rockchester.
Yeah.
Next year is number 5.
Number 5.
Do you know the dates yet, or is it still completely up in there?
No, but we will have to do some kind of join the flock thing, because that'll be Rockchester V, and like so we're gonna have to do some branding with that. But yeah, thank you guys for having me on. This has been really fun.
People want to learn more about your event or connect with you, where can they go?
Yeah, so all of our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is at Rockchester Fest, and then our website is rockchesterfestival.com.
There you have it. Thanks for joining. Thanks for asking questions. We'll see you on the next podcast.
All right. Thanks.